Wow, is this uncomfortable?
Oh, it's my first time.
This is my first time sitting
ever
during a message while I'm speaking it. Wow. This is, I don't know if I can do this. This is weird.
Oh, yeah. I'm not going to be able to sit down here the whole time.
This is awkward.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we just tried to get this to be like, you know, Mr. Rogers, you know? Hello, neighbor. Won't you be my neighbor? Just to give it a little better atmosphere. And so,
Christmas wishes, we could start a line.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Have all the parents pay us to have their kids sit on our lap. That's fun. Back to church Sunday. What we want to talk to you to this morning is what is best for society. And in our culture and day and age today, there are people that will tell you what they think is best. And according to the laws of non-contradiction, only one thing can be best, and everything else has to be wrong. And so our age is moving at such a breakneck speed. Nobody knows what the future is hold. There is so much changing, fast times, and this is nothing new. Matter of fact, man can do whatever he wants to do, and has, and will. Back in Genesis chapter 11, at the Tower of Babel, God said that nothing that man proposes to do will be withheld from himself. He'll do whatever he wants. And that's the same today. Science and technology are moving at such a breakneck speed. The doubling of computer processing speed every 18 months, I think that's known as the Moore's Law, is just one example of how fast technology is changing at such an exponential rate. What was new yesterday is obsolete tomorrow.
Sure. I'm old enough to remember dial-up internet. You're old enough to remember no internet and no telephone. Did you have the telephone?
I'm not that much older than you.
Okay, sure. So, you know, I can remember when you had to wait just to even get on the internet, and you'd have that really weird sound that sounded like you were talking to like an alien, and then you'd wait, and then to load a page, you know, could take minutes. And now, if my iPhone spins for a half of a second, I'm ready to chuck it through the wall. Mm-hmm. You know, so things are just, you're right.
You don't remember party lines, do you?
You know what? I don't think that's where you could pick it up and listen to everyone else's conversations.
Yeah. There's more than one person on your line.
Yeah. You hear them just breathing heavy in the background?
No, they'd actually be talking.
No, I'm saying, like, if you were my neighbor, could I pick up the phone and listen to what you were saying to someone else?
Sure. That's why if you had an emergency, you'd pick up the phone. You'd be like, hey, get off the dang phone. I need to use it. It's an emergency.
Man, it's weird.
But it is. So many things have been changing. So many things are so new and so fast. And what's new today is obsolete tomorrow and all these things. But philosophies are no different. Philosophies have come and gone. And there's new philosophies all the time. And these new philosophies try to tell us what is best for society. But it is our purpose this morning to show you what is best for society is only found in biblical principles. Just what the Bible says.
Yeah, so you're saying that even if you took all of the spiritual stuff, right, religious stuff, if you took all of that, if you did, we don't here, but
sure.
If you did, just the principles that Jesus taught,
yes,
is what works best, right?
You remove the religious aspect, you remove Jesus, God, and you take what is taught in the Bible, and we will show you that is exactly what is best for society. Now, there's so many aspects, we really don't have time to go through all of them this morning, but we just want to give you some that are very impactful for our society. Now, not everybody is a science guru. Not everybody likes to talk about science and so forth. But there's been a lot of scientific discoveries that have been founded based on biblical principles. I don't know if you know Psalm 19:1. It says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork." Nature around us literally proves what a creator God has done in this universe. And you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, you find out that God is a God of perfect order, absolute perfect order. And you look at some of this stuff and you find out that Christians literally took these biblical principles and they applied it to real life and they made some amazing discoveries. For instance, Isaac Newton, Christian, he founded the laws of gravity. You know the laws of gravity is perfectly in order and you can't go against it? Matter of fact, Isaac Newton also come up with calculus. How did you do in math?
You know what? Actually, you looked at me like I didn't like take calculus or something. I did. My freshman year of college.
Did you pass?
My roommate did. No, this is a true story. His name is Darren, and he like tested into like calculus 4. I don't even know they had a calculus 4. And so I was in calculus 1, and it was a class to where if you did your homework and turned it in, like you could pass. So he would just do my homework, and then I think the highest I got
so
on the
test. So you cheated. You just admitted you cheated.
Listen, I wasn't, you know, I was a little mischievous back then. But I think my highest test score was at 17%. And he actually brought me to the side one day. He's like, Matt, like, and he was, anyway. He's like, you do so good on your homework. And you have these tests that are just, I said, hey, listen, my friend, I have anxiety. I'm not a good test taker, so you're going to trigger me. I was triggered before triggering was a thing. So give me my Play-Doh and my coloring book. But I did pass calculus, thank you. I mean, Darren passed calculus, but
how lovely.
Don't tell my kids that.
That's wonderful. Many people have made some awesome scientific discoveries. Johannes Kepler, Michael Faraday, so many different types of Christians have done some awesome work.
Copernicus, you know him?
Copernicus, yeah.
Heliocentric model. Vocab word of the day, heliocentric.
Can you say that fast 5 times?
No. 7 days for a week, 52 weeks in a year. He kind of proved that was a thing.
Sure.
Earth revolves around the sun.
It does. Then why do we still say sunrise and sunset?
No. Stop saying it.
So, yeah, the heliocentric model, absolutely. The Earth revolves around the sun. So do the other planets in our galaxy. Does it 7 days a week to 365 days a year, everything. Matter of fact, science and people have never been able to get us any more days in a week. 7 days, literally, nothing. God created it, started it out, it's in perfect order. And it's always been that way. Always has, always will be. Nothing can change that. Absolutely nothing. And so, I mean, there's many of other Christians that have made some awesome discoveries, some scientific things, and really, really paved the way for us.
Sure. Pretty thankful for the medical discoveries and
absolutely
using these biblical principles to look at the world in a different way, knowing that you need to help and love others and those things that Jesus taught about. I mean, we would never have hospitals or any of these things without
sure
Christians leading the way.
And these are principles that are found in the Bible, Old and New Testament both. It doesn't matter. You take those principles and you apply them to life and society, and it absolutely makes society and people better. And so let's stray away from science to a minute and just get into people and culture and how society has literally shaped our culture for the better. Now, one of the biggest aspects is people think that slavery is a biblical concept. So when you talk about slavery, the Bible, yeah, all you Christians, you're the ones that want to enslave people because it's found in the Bible. Is that true?
No, actually, 1 Timothy, I just knew this verse off the top of my head, obviously. I'm not seeing it on this paper, but it says that enslaving people is contrary to our doctrine. So contrary meaning it goes against. But a lot of people will point at us and say that, you know, we preach for slavery. And,
sure.
And obviously slavery was part of the culture, so it needed to be addressed. But it was it's never condoned in Scripture, ever.
No, slavery is never condoned in Scripture. And it's against doctrine, crystal clear. So people found biblical principles, you'd find out that enslaving people is not what's best for society, right? Would you agree? Amen. And when people take these principles, like a man named William Wilberforce, that's a weird name, but this man in England took the biblical principle as a Christian, applied it to society, and he said, we need to stop slavery because that is not what's best. He took the biblical principles, applied it to society, him and other folks as well. He wasn't the only one, but he was the leader of that. And in that cause, he eliminated slavery in England and set free 700,000 slaves. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people. As a matter of fact, even though, and I have to say this, because even though the Bible does talk about slavery, in the Old Testament, talks about how you're to treat a slave, slavery is never the issue. Slavery is a cultural issue, not a biblical one. And so God knew that people were going to enslave other people. So God said, if you're going to do that, let me set you up some good principles. And so these were only volunteers to come and volunteer their own slavery. And then, after 7 years, they were to pay off a debt. And that's why they were to volunteer, so that they could pay off a debt. And after 7 years, regardless if that debt was paid off, they were to be set free. Wouldn't that be great? I mean, even if you needed to be, you know, sell yourself so you could pay off debt, boom, after 7 years, you're set free. The biblical principles are found there. And even where it goes against what people think, it's still better for our society.
Can you talk to my student loans about that, 7 years? Tell them to leave me alone. Sally Mae, I was my firstborn. Yeah. It's Navient now. Devil.
It's crazy. Mm-hmm. So when we talk about what's best for society, the biggest aspect would be relationships. Because the relationships that we have, that is the key to everything in our world. Not only nation to nation, job, state to state, everything, especially when it comes to the home. If you were to destroy the home, what would happen?
Well, it's relationships. If you can destroy relationships, you are destroying the home. And if you start destroying the home, then obviously families make up, you know, communities, cities, counties, states. Those states make up countries. So if you can get at the base level, then yeah, your nation is you're in trouble. You won't have to drop any bombs or conquer us or invade. We will literally eat ourselves from the inside out. Just says the Romans did, the Persians did it, Genghis Khan and his crew. It was a falling apart, a disintegration of the family unit, and it destroyed them.
It did.
As it's destroying us.
So let's go backwards. So if the family destroys everything else, let's start based on biblical principles. Let's start from the national level. The Bible talks about back in Leviticus chapter 19 in the Old Testament. It talks about people that are foreigners coming into your country. It says to treat them good. Do good to the sojourner. Do good to the foreigner. Matter of fact, the Bible says that you are to treat them as yourself. You shall love them as you love yourself. Could you imagine people coming into the country and you loving them as you love yourself? I mean, we love ourselves, right? We get up in the morning and we look in the mirror and we try to doll ourselves up to look better than what we are and all that wonderful stuff. And we put on good clothes and we take care of ourselves and we eat whatever we want. And so if you were to take care of a visitor that way, that would literally be better. Now, we're not talking about people that want to enslave you and want to force you into slavery and take you over at gunpoint. We're not talking about those people. We're talking about people that are visiting, people that are, you know, following in. If we were to love them as we love ourselves, society would be a little better off.
Sure. Jesus even says love your enemies. It's really easy to love people that already love you.
Sure.
We're called as Christ followers to be something different. And loving someone that doesn't necessarily love you back, it can be a challenge. There's no question about it.
Sure.
But that's what we're called to do.
We are called to do that. And people have done that. People have taken these biblical principles and loved their neighbor as themselves and have literally established organizations to help people, not only in this country, but around the world. Literally around the world. For instance, anybody ever heard of Florence Nightingale? Do you know she was a Christian? And what did she establish? Nursing. Absolutely established nursing so women could learn to help other people. Right? Amazing. And that's just one.
Yeah, Clara Barton. I heard Red Cross, but Clara Barton actually established the Red Cross. And you can go anywhere in the world. All of these Civil War-torn places. And that Red Cross, what that stands for, people in dire need of food and medical supplies, you know, they want to see that Red Cross coming. And again, it goes back to those biblical principles of she saw a need and she acted on it. And here we are, yes, worldwide, coming from, you know, pretty
it doesn't matter where you're at. You see that emblem, you know exactly what it is.
You know exactly what it is. And you
whatever
know
language
help,
you're in.
You know that help is coming. It has arrived, right? I mean,
sure.
It's a big deal.
Sure. I should probably do this more often, but I give platelets at the Red Cross. And most people give blood, and that's great, and they need blood all the time. But platelets was something special. And it took a couple hours to actually give platelets. And what happens is that platelets only have a 5-day shelf life. Most people don't know that. Platelets only have a 5-day shelf life. And for people that have leukemia and cancer and different types of things, they need platelets every day. And so the American Red Cross gets volunteers to come in so they can give platelets, so they can give these needs out. And it's just a sad shame that people don't do better for their communities, because on the board it would say, you know, hospital needs 480 in platelets. Sure. And it'll be, this week we have supplied 10 of those needs. I mean, the needs are out there all over the world. People have needs. And it's people like these that establish things like that to do better for other people.
Sure. Philippians 2:4 says, don't just look out for yourself, look out for the interests of others. That is, as a church, that should be our goal. It's
sure.
It's not just these four walls. It's not just this building. It's what's going on outside and helping those people.
People have always been trying to help people based on the biblical principles. Widows and orphans are the biggest. As a matter of fact, the Bible says a lot about helping widows and orphans in the Bible, Old and New Testament. Both of them talk about helping widows and orphans. And people have established organizations to do that.
George Mueller? 10,000 orphans, he saved.
10,000 orphans?
1,000 orphans.
That's amazing. 10,000 orphans. Do you know there was one in India, William Carey? He established, helped abolish slavery in India with other people. But he also established Sati, which is something a lot of people don't know. Sati was what happens is when the husband died,
like
nobody wanted
tea.
To take care of the sweet tea.
Yeah.
No, it was Sati.
Oh, okay.
So when the husband died, the wife, nobody wanted to take care of him, not the children, not anybody, not even society. And so what they would do was when they burned the husband, they would throw the wife on the husband's burning body. Whether she was alive or not, didn't matter. And what happened is the women were like, oh, we're not going to stick around for this. We're taking off. So what they would do is they would dig a pit deep enough for the husband to be thrown in. And when they buried his dead body, they'd just throw the wife in on top of him and she couldn't get out. And so here's William Carey who comes in, establishes biblical principle and says, we need to take care of these widows. And boom, Sati was abolished from then on. Isn't that amazing? You take a biblical principle, you apply it to society, and you find out that's what's best for it. Number one, we have a lady in our church. Praise God. Miss Vivian Winters. She established people helping people. And you know what she did? She took a biblical principle. What's the biblical principle? It says, I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was hungry and you fed me. And you know what she does? 365 days a year, she is in downtown Mansfield. Well, not downtown right now, close anymore. She's got her own little place, praise God. But she feeds the homeless, our veterans. Praise God for helping out our veterans. Homeless, veterans, people in need, all kinds of stuff. And she does it every single day. Every single day.
Going back to biblical principles, Psalm says that we're to take up the cause of the poor. That is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to help people that maybe can't help themselves, try to get them back on their feet,
sure,
and get them moving in the right direction.
Take up the cause of the poor, sure. You know, if we had better relationships in our society, we would be doing better as a society, especially in our jobs. Matter of fact, 1 Peter chapter 2 talks about jobs. It literally says that you should have respect for your boss, not only to the ones that are good, but also for the ones that treat you like garbage.
Amen.
We should have respect for our bosses. All right. Yes,
I'm just
we should.
Biblical
yes,
I'm just
yes,
agreeing.
That's right.
Amen.
And employees should treat their bosses really much better.
Mm-hmm.
Much better.
I didn't read. Is that part in there too? Respect our okay.
So here's the idea. If we took a biblical principle, we would still respect our boss, regardless of whether he was a good one or bad one, because you can still learn from people, correct? Whether they're doing good or doing bad. And you can still respect them.
And I'm sure most of us out there have been in toxic work environments. And it's not good for anybody. Whether your boss is a bonehead or not, learn either what to do or what not to do. But working in those environments, you dread going to work every single day. And that's not healthy. That's not healthy for you. That's not healthy for production.
Anxiety, stress, anger.
Right. So again,
it's horrible.
Applying the biblical principles, respecting them, whether they're good, bad, or in between.
But they don't go into society. They don't go into their jobs. They don't go into these places and have better relationships, because it all starts in one place.
Sure.
And that's the home.
Sure.
And so why is those relationships so poor?
Well, this is one that I'm in particularly passionate about, is the home. I just want to go ahead and sound the alarm that we're talking about the family. The family is in really bad shape right now. We're now dealing with the second, third generation of divorcees, right? I deal with people every single day. Every day, that's what I do. And I talk to a lot of these young adults, and they have no interest whatsoever in getting married. They've seen their parents get divorced. They've seen their grandparents get divorced. And listen, church, I know things happen in marriage, right? I'm about to celebrate my 13th year of marriage here on the 23rd.
Happy anniversary, and, by the way.
Yeah, man. And to think that her mom told me no.
Think that she still puts up with you.
Right. Every day I roll over and I say, you are welcome. Is that? No? Well, I mean, because we got married on her birthday, so it's just like, hey, birthday present. Ta-da. And I just jump out of the closet. Anyway.
You're like the boogeyman in the closet.
Yeah, right. But I have a passion for marriages. And again, I know things happen in marriage. I get it. And I know that divorce does happen. But church is still a sin. And we still have to treat it as a sin. Society has softened it a little bit just because it affects so many people. And I'm not saying that, you know, you have to walk around your life with just this big scarlet letter and, you know, you forfeit all your ministry and you can't, you know. That's not what I'm saying at all. What I am saying is that the consequences of a divorce culture and just this throwaway culture is impacting our entire society. Broken homes, broken families.
Sure.
You go into education and you go through, you know, high school diplomas. The percentage between, you know, a mom, dad, kids compared to single parent homes, no father, no mother. Anywhere from graduation rate to higher education, graduation rate, incarceration. I mean, literally any comparison is not even close. And unfortunately, the divorce rate in the church is the same. It's not any lower than it is in the world. And so my encouragement to you today is that we have to be taking care of our families. Husbands, you need to know how to love your wives. Husbands, you need to know how to love your kids. Wives, you need to learn how to submit to your husbands as your husband submits to God. See, we see all of these, you know, people just living together and having babies with whoever they want to have babies with. This is not the way that it is supposed to operate. From the very beginning, you had Adam and Eve, right? And with Adam and Eve, we are the what of God? We are
children.
The children of God, right?
Children.
So from the very beginning, the very first two, Adam and Eve being children of God, Satan came in and tried to disrupt that unit, and he did. And then the very next generation of Cain and Abel, Satan, sin, disrupted that family unit. And destruction always follows if the family is not together.
Sure.
Once the family goes, it is only a matter of time before everything else in society goes. And so I need you to know, as we suffer, listen, I'm raising the alarm. We are in a serious man crisis, first of all. That's a whole nother message. Y'all want to be here till 3:00 in the afternoon. I'll talk about how our men have been just stripped of all manliness, and they have no idea how to be men. because they didn't have their fathers and their fathers. So again, we see it every day. We're counseling people. Why is my life? Da, da, da. Love your wife. Love your kids. Go to work. Love your boss, even if he doesn't love you back. Love your enemies. Love your. These are the principles that we're trying to talk about that we can wake you up to say, listen, loving each other is very important. Love your family. Don't get divorced. Don't get divorced. Don't, you know, I have relatives. My cousins are living with their girlfriends. And I'm sitting here going at these family reunions going, no, everyone's okay with this? Like, we're fine with this? Well, they're going to do it anyway. So it's a problem. And there's a design, man, woman, kids. That's what makes a family. When we start messing with that, things really start to go wrong.
They do. And we need to begin to train our kids back up the way that
it all starts in the home. All of these problems start
in the home. Back in Exodus 20, God said, children, obey your parents.
Right.
Matter of fact, it said that was the first commandment with a promise. Okay. That you live long on the earth.
I was at Target yesterday. This kid did not stop screaming from the time he walked in the door to the time that we left. I almost spanked the dad and then spanked the boy. It was unbelievable what I see in public.
Well, we live in a day and age where people just let their kids do whatever.
Oh.
The kids don't run. And that's the problem, is because when the kids aren't taught to respect other people, if you don't respect your parents, you'll never respect your boss. You'll never respect anybody else in society, period.
If you're a spoiled kid, you're going to be a spoiled adult.
Sure. Absolutely. It all starts in the home. So if, okay, so here's a question. If the biblical principles are what is best for society, I mean, we've had people literally take these principles and affect our society for the better, to create organizations that are the better. But if these principles have been around for thousands of years, they don't change because they're the same.
Sure.
If these principles are the same and they are what is best for society, for all peoples at all time, past, present, and future, how come society sucks so bad? That's the question, right? If we have the principles of what's best for society, how's come it so bad?
We can boil it down to one word.
One word.
One word. Sin. We're sinners, man. We are dirty, rotten, selfish sinners. And talking about the family, I got four kids, man. We got kids coming out all over the place. Annie would not leave me alone. Four kids, man. And I didn't have to teach not one single one how to sin. I didn't have to teach them how to be selfish. It doesn't matter what the toy is. That toy could be sitting on the floor for 3 years. But as soon as one kid picks it up to play with it, all of a sudden, magically, it is the hottest toy to ever see the Trammell household. And now everybody wants it. And people are punching and screaming and biting. Stop biting. Stop licking your sister.
Must take after their mother.
They've been, well, she's a stay-at-home mom. They've been hanging out with her too much, clearly. Jeez. But yeah, I mean, we're sinners, man.
And we
we're
see
sinners.
That in society. We see everybody doing wrong. You're not bent on doing good. You don't come out wanting to do good. You do evil. And that's what we do. Naturally, our nature as sinners is depraved in order to do wrong. And that's what we do. And so, if we're sinners by nature, then there's only one thing that's going to change our society. Somebody that can change our sin nature.
Sure.
And that would be Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only person that can change the sin nature so that you can do what is best for society. Because without Jesus Christ, you can't follow the biblical principles. Because your sin nature is bent on doing wrong, period. Why? Because not everybody in the world accepts Jesus Christ. And so that's why our culture and our society and the world around us is falling apart. Because we're trying to push God and Jesus Christ out of the picture. You can't do what is best for society without Christ. What's best for our church?
I got to stand up for this. I can't sit down any longer. You mind if I stand up?
Yeah, I'm going to.
Okay, well, okay, so here's the deal. So, I got to be nice.
30 seconds, time's clicking.
30 seconds. Man, we're doing good today. So I'm talking to mostly saved people today, mostly. There's some of you that maybe have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. But this message specifically is for our church today, back to church. You know, we're here, we're excited. You know, we have a good crowd today. We have kind of a different, you know, layout today. But this is what I need you to hear, church, saved people. You accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Mm. When you did that, you accepted onto yourself a standard of how you are to be as a human being.
That's right.
Listen to me. You being a Christian has very little to do with your church attendance. You walking through those doors, being in this building right where you're sitting, does not make you a Christian any more than me swimming in the ocean makes me a dolphin. And so for me, I need church. I need you to understand that as we apply these biblical principles to your life, not Sunday morning, not Wednesday night, I'm talking Monday through Saturday. What are you personally doing to apply these biblical principles to your life? If you know the truth, what the heck are you doing about it? Are you a Christian? Do you think that you're a Christian because I go to Mission Point on Sunday and I check my box of attendance and then I just go and I live my life? It's so important that we as a church leave these doors, leave this pep rally. That's what it is. This is a training ground. We're training soldiers. What do soldiers do? Soldiers go out and they conquer and they fight and then they bring back more soldiers. They bring back more resources. That's right. What soldiers used to do.
That's right.
When they were at war. And so you are, remember the song, I'm in the Lord's Army, right? Yes, sir. If you, it's a big if you say that you're in the Lord's Army, you say that you're among the ranks, what are you doing in the Lord's Army? Are you part of the conquering, or are you back at camp, like, digging a latrine? Or peeling potatoes? Are you in the game? Or are you on the sidelines? We need people, right? Sure. We need people to fill ministries in the church. But more importantly, we need soldiers that are going to go out into our community, use these biblical principles to change our world.
Amen.
You can't tell me a group this size can't radically change Richland County.
Amen.
You can't tell me that. Because Jesus changed the world with 12.
Yeah.
And so if we had this amount of people on fire for Jesus, doing what we're supposed to be doing, not being a camo Christian at work, not being scared to say, if I talk about Jesus, I'm going to lose my job. Guess what? If you lose your job because you're talking about Jesus, we'll let you stay in the missions department until you get another job. If you get kicked out of your house, like, we will help you. You know how blessed you'd be for getting fired for talking about Jesus? You don't think God has a plan for that?
Amen.
Hello. We have to be fearless, folks. We are in a fight. We are in a war, whether you want to be or not. It's good versus evil. It's the God versus Satan, and we're part of it.
That's right.
But a lot of us aren't fighting at all. Satan has rocked you to sleep with your nice job, with your house. We all have food. You don't have to worry about where your next meal is coming from. We have clean, drinkable water. I have more water. I use more water to brush my teeth in the morning than most of the world sees their entire life of clean drinking water. Let that blow your mind. So what are you doing about it? What are you doing with your talents, your time, your treasure, with these biblical principles to actually, I'm talking really do something. Not say you're a Christian here. That's really easy to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's not so easy to say you're a Christian out there. What are you doing in the Lord's Army? That's my question to you, church.
Mm.
Listen, we're not here to sit on the sidelines. We're here to be in the game. Active players to radically change our community for Jesus.
And so that is what the biblical principles did for people who believed in Jesus. They got up, they went into society, and they did something about it. And so what are you doing? Now, friend, if you're here this morning, let me just say that the biblical principles apply to everybody. All people, all time, past, present, future. But you can't apply those principles without Jesus Christ. It starts with relationships in the home. But it first starts with the most important relationship, and that is with Jesus Christ. Now, just because Jesus Christ died on the cross doesn't mean that his sacrifice applies to everybody. Just because he died for the sins of everybody doesn't mean it automatically applies and that you're going to heaven. Because you have to receive that gift. See, the Bible says that even the demons believe in God, right? The demons believe. Matter of fact, Satan has been in the presence of God himself. But it doesn't mean that Satan's going to have heaven and eternal life, does it? And so here's my thing to you. I'm so thankful that you're here this morning, because I want you to get this message right here. Jesus Christ died and shed his blood so that we could have salvation, heaven, and eternal life. Begin a relationship right now with him and be with him forever. But it takes you accepting that gift. Have you ever accepted Jesus Christ? Has there ever been a time in your life, not your mom said when you were 1 and a half or 2, or you were sprinkled as a baby or baptized? I'm not talking about any of that. I'm talking about what the Bible says it takes to have heaven and eternal life. Because you can know, right now, you can know that you have eternal life. John says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, that those that believe in Jesus, that you may know that you have eternal life. Do you know? What do you mean, do you know? Do I know what? Has there ever been a time in your life? Do you remember a time where you specifically told Jesus that you were a sinner? We talked about sin. Sin is the problem in the world. Matter of fact, it started in the Garden of Eden. The first man and woman sinned. And because of that, every man and woman since, born of a man and a woman, is a sinner. But just because Jesus died doesn't take that sin nature away. You have to accept him. You have to realize that you're a sinner. Confess that to God and say, God, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I recognize that. There's nothing good within me. Forgive me and save me. And the Bible promises, Paul says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. That sin nature will be turned around. You'll have God. The Holy Spirit will come in and dwell you. You may not understand all these principles, and it'll be a lifelong process to disciple you to understand what all that stuff means. But salvation comes first. You can't go and apply these principles to society and be what is best without Jesus Christ. Do you know Jesus? Is he your Savior? We invite you this morning to come. Would you stand with us? Come down here, Matt. As the praise team comes, they'll sing and they'll play. For the folks that are here, you know the deal. This invitation is for you guys. This invitation is for you. Isaiah said, here I am, Lord, use me. We need more people like that. Here I am, Lord. Mansfield, Ohio, use me. Do something with me. Friend, if you've never accepted Jesus, let today be the day of salvation. Let us get back to being the church, not just doing church on Sunday only. That's just something you practice. Church is who we are. As the praise team sings and plays, we invite you to come. And we just want to say, listen, this will be the biggest decision that you ever make in your life, to accept Jesus. Do you know him? And if you know him, what are you doing with what you've been given? That's the whole point of back to church. We got to get back to being the church in our society, doing what is best.